So Lord, we just thank you and praise you for yet another opportunity to be in your presence, to feast on your beautiful face. We thank you, Lord, that your presence is all we need. And Lord, that we are presence-driven, presence-bound, presence-filled with joy. And Lord, we really want to understand and to receive and to know your presence beyond anything else, God. Let it be, whether we have one person in here or 1,000 or 2,000, whatever it would be, draw people by your presence, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for this special season upon us. And we thank you for that. What you're going to do today is so remarkable because we feel in our bones. And we thank you, Lord, that you're here. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You're so good. Amen. Well, I was a bit stuck over here and I was laughing because angels were messing with my feet over here earlier. It was fun, especially since we're going to be talking a little about angels and such. They like that. So praise the Lord. I just wanted to say, I just love this song. This is so good. Know and see. This is not part of the message, but it is. So here we go. Know and see. Know and see. We're going to put up Luke chapter 1, thinking about know and see. Okay? Chapter 1 in the Amplified. So we got that up. Yay. And we'll be ready to put that other one picture up, you guys, at some point. That'll go up, right? We're good. Okay, so know and see. It's twofold. Now listen, this is awesome. I love this because we are to be fixed and transformed. Fixed and transformed. It's really worth writing down. It's really worth memorizing if you've got one of these photographic or non-photographic memories. It's okay. Fixed and transformed. We are fixed. We cannot and will not be transformed without being fixed. We need to be fixed. Don't think of a dog or a cat getting fixed. Think of us being fixed. That means unmovable, unshakable. We are fixed. We are determined. We are unrelenting. So we need to be fixed. Oh, hi, Will and Sherry. I just saw you there. Hugs are coming. And to know and see his goodness and his glory. So we are to know his goodness and see his glory. Now think about that with the message that's coming from Luke chapter 1. Know his goodness, see his glory. Very, very appropriate. Know his goodness, see his glory. And then we are transformed in his presence. We are to know his presence and see his beauty. So we are fixed to do what? Anybody catch that? To know his goodness and see his glory. Oh, we'll do this again, class. Okay. The two parts. Because this is going to be helpful in you interpreting what God's saying in the scriptures in a moment. To know his goodness and see his glory. Thank you, sweetie. That's great. How nice. You know I love my hot water. Hang on, let me get this big Bible out of here. Okay, thank you. To know his goodness and see his glory. So let's say it again. We know this is one thing. We are fixed to know his goodness, see his glory. Know his goodness, see his glory. Know his goodness, see his glory. We're fixed. Our feet are fixed or planted. And then we will be, and we know that we will be transformed, right? Two full part. To know his presence, see his beauty. Know his presence and see his beauty. So the second part of this is transformed. We will be transformed or changed to what? To know his presence and see his beauty. Oh, we're good, aren't we? Now, I just want this to ring. You know how it is sometimes when you hear a song and you're just kind of popping around, always beginning to look a lot like Christmas when you got up this morning and you saw the snow outside. How many sang that song? Oh, it's beginning to. I did, coming down. I was in a daze. It was really kind of like, whoa. And my beloved said, honey, there's a ton of snow out there. Oh, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Because we associate white snow with Christmas, don't we? Many times, except unless you live in Florida or some other place. But but with this in mind, we are fixed. So let's be fixed this morning, but throughout the week, even in our prayer time, getting ready for what's coming as we celebrate Christmas with our family and friends. And here as we worship the Lord, we are fixed. We are fixed to know your goodness, to see your glory. You got it. Know your goodness, see your glory. So this is where I'm fixed. I'm going to know your goodness, and I will see your glory. That's it. This is my goal, God. I want to know that you're good, know your goodness, and I will see your glory. As I know your goodness, I will see your glory. Because I'm fixed in that determination inside of me, fixes me so that I'm unmovable and unshakable before you. So when we say, fix your eyes on things above and not on earthly things, and then we go throughout the rest of our world, the rest of our life, the rest of our moments, the rest of our breathing time, what does that look like? So this is a little bit more of an expansion of what that looks like, and we're going to take it back to Luke 1 to really drive it home. So we are fixed to know his goodness, to see his glory, and we will be changed, right? As we are fixed, changed to know his presence and see his beauty. To know your presence and see his beauty. To know your presence, to see your beauty. To know your presence, to know. So we need to know. And we need to see. We need to know. So this right here, this heart inside of us is our internal knower. But I believe the Lord also, as we know it in our hearts, we will see. Faith is tangible. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Evidence of things not seen. The Lord says, I'm going to increase your faith this morning. How many of us want an increase in faith? You want an increase in faith, no matter what that looks like from God's perspective? When we put our hand up, he is saying, I am here. I feel it in my bones. I am here to do that. So I need to be fixed as I'm being transformed. So it's twofold. That's really great. I just love that. It's a good song. Okay, here we go. Luke 1. Now, the reason I was in Luke 1, particularly today in the Amplified, can we put more than one? Can we put a passage up there? Amplified, I don't know how you guys do this back there, but we need more than one verse at a time. Andrew's on the move, thank you. We can do that. We want to see more with Luke chapter 1. And if you don't have the Amplified, that's fine too. But we're going to look at the Amplified because there's just so much in there. Thank you, Lord. You are so gracious. And I have a lot on my heart about this, and I'm looking at the time and I'm looking at the verses going, whoa. Alrighty then, so this will be something that you guys can dig into and really start to pull apart in your family time. And I pray that you're having family time beyond any other type of time, meaning in the presence of God, okay? What I mean is, I'm not saying don't come to church and corporately worship. That certainly would never be my message. I'm not saying that. That's not, a disclaimer here. This is saying that in your families, what do we want to do? We want to be fixed on his goodness and see his glory. We want to be transformed by his presence and see his beauty. Amen? And that goes for our families around us. How do we do that, God? How does that look for us, practically speaking? You might be the only pioneer in the family, or maybe one of two or something, or you're just starting out. Whatever it is, don't look at your age. Look at where you are in the Spirit with the Lord and humbly fixing your eyes on Jesus and watch what God will do. He took Mary, he took Joseph, he took Zacharias, and he took Elizabeth, his wife, and he really, really moved in their lives before John the Baptist was born, before Jesus was born. God had a big plan. So it's more than just a fun little Christmas story. The Lord is setting up generational blessings for us. And if we, as we capture this, and as we decree these things, and as we declare in our life, for our families, for us, you'll be amazed. I really believe even after the first of the year, or even at the New Year's Eve celebration, we're going to be hearing things and seeing things that are absolutely phenomenal from taking this stand again. And we do it all the time, but yet there's always a deeper place in the Lord, deeper place in the Lord. I was getting my heart ready again this morning, and my love walked by, and I said, honey, I'm so in love with you. And he's kiddingly, he loves me, but he kiddingly said, oh, is this a new revelation? And he knows it's not. And I just said, a deeper revelation of that. So today is a deeper walk with the Lord. Amen? Amen. Oh, this is better. I like this. Okay. 80, you're like, whoa, we're going to go through 80 verses today. Come on. Wow. Since, as is well known, many have undertaken to put into narrative, draw up a thorough narrative of the surely established deeds which have been accomplished and fulfilled in and among us. This is so good. And we're not going to spend a lot of time. We're going to go right to verse 5. So verse 5, this is great because you can read this at home. Get down to verse 5, guys. And we're going to start here. You can After I read that, those two lines at the bottom, go right up then again to verse 6. In the days when Herod was king of Judea, there was a certain priest, help us out, there you go, whose name was Zechariah, of the daily service, the division of Abijah. And his wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Very important. And they both were righteous in the sight of God. Okay, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. Very important. We know that they came before the birth, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. So this was what they were called to do. This is what they were doing. So that's a good thing. Together. However, but they had no child. Elizabeth was barren. And both were far advanced in years. So both of those were the other side of things. They were doing good things, doing right things, but they were advanced in years, going against the natural. Both were barren, going against the natural again, because we've got a problem here. There's no baby and no hope of a baby. Okay, so that's good to know. Now, while on duty, serving as priest before God, so here we have a description of Zechariah. Now, while on duty, serving as a priest before God in the order of his division, as was the custom of the priesthood, it fell to him by lot to enter the sanctuary of the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Okay, so this is his job, to go in as a priest before God to burn incense, which is part of the ceremonial celebration of inviting the power and the presence of God to show up as part of their rightly duty. And it was going to be something that the Lord was going to say, wow, he's doing what he's supposed to do, as much as he knows to do in this season in his life. And he's praying to me, he's lighting the incense. The altar of incense is an indication of his prayer and his intercession before the Lord, and he's preparing the way, and the people are outside, and they're all praying fervently at the same time. Okay, let's see what it says. And all the throng of people were praying outside in the court at the hour of incense, or burning. Now, ta-da, there's the preamble, so to speak. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. We know that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, but yet he's going to come in bodily form very shortly, unbeknownst to these guys, in fullness, maybe a little bit of understanding, possibly from Genesis and such, but which wasn't written for them to declare and decree to the degree that they would understand if they lived later. However, they did have the Torah and everything. So there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear took possession of him. That's really important. Pastor Bill preached an amazing message last week. You really got to listen to it. So you only have three. Lawrence, for me, Michelle. Of course, I was here for Pastor Bill's. So if you weren't here for any of those, you have three. They're just really awesome. But last week he was talking about fear and worry and faith and where that all fits in a very practical way. And I just loved it. It's very, very touching for me. And I'm sure for all of us here. But fear took possession of this man. And the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah, because your petition was heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you must." This is what's going to happen, and you must call his name John. God is favorable. This is what you must do. God has heard your prayers. This is what he's going to do. Here's what you need to do. Simple. But the first thing he says to him is, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Okay, well, we've heard a lot of do nots or do's in the scripture, and we do or do not them anyway, right? So here, there wasn't a full release of the fear, apparently. So let's see what happened. Do not be afraid. Here's what will happen. And he gives him the reason to not be afraid also. He says, here's a picture of God's goodness. You said you wanted to see his glory, right? You said that you wanted to know his goodness. Well, here we go. Here's a picture of God's goodness for you. So what's there to worry about? Let go of the fear. Fear is gripping you. You must call his name John. God is favorable, and you shall have joy and exultant delight, and many will rejoice over his birth. So he's already also giving him the promise of what's going to come as a result of who God is and what he's going to do. And he says, I will release my joy, and many will follow in the same path. This is going to be glorious. You don't get it. You don't understand it. And it feels really icky right now because, number one, you feel fear. And it's very hard for you to embrace the truth of what I'm telling you, but I'm saying, here's what you need to do. Part one, you need to believe. Part two, you need to act. This is what he needed to do. Receive, believe, and act. In other words, if something's coming against you to stop you from being who you were created to be, listen, I'm from God here, and I'm coming to tell you, this is your job. Leave the results to the Lord. You need to believe, receive, and you need to do. And when you do that, it's going to be okay. It's going to be really cool. So he gives him those requirements, if you will, from heaven directly. This is really beautiful. Exultant delight, many will rejoice over his birth. Now listen to the description of this child that Zechariah isn't so sure is even coming yet. But yet it's given to him, so listen to this. For he will be great and distinguished in the sight of the Lord, and he must drink no wine nor strong drink, and he will be filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit, even in and from his mother's womb. What? How? Ha! Numbers 6:3. You can go back and check that out. And he will turn back and cause to return many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will himself go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn back the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient and incredulous and unpersuadable to the wisdom of the upright, which is the knowledge and holy love of the will of God, in order to make ready for the Lord a people perfectly prepared in spirit, adjusted and disposed and placed in the right moral state. Isaiah 40 verse 3, Malachi 4, 5, and 6, that we hang our hats on all the time. And we declare and we decree. Now, I'm going to ask you, Amber, go back to that where he started describing John the Baptist. And I want to invite you to ask yourself, do I see myself this way? Do I see other people in my life, in my generational line, if you will, this way? Do I see them this way? Now, they're not John the Baptist. But John the Baptist wasn't Elijah, but he came in the spirit and power of Elijah. Okay? And so the Lord is saying, I'm releasing to you what God's intention will be, and this one is a forerunner for the future. But I'm dealing with him now, and I have a plan for your family line. I have a plan for your generational blessing. I have a plan for what I want to do through you, through those who are coming after you, and even those who are here right now, who don't understand it, who don't know this, who don't get it. I have a plan, and anybody who wants to connect in with my plan and my purpose so that they will fix their eyes on me and they will do exactly what we said. They will know my goodness, they will see my glory, and they will be transformed. They will know my presence and see my beauty, and they will see it. So when we see his glory and see his beauty, that means it's going to look like something. And it's not necessarily going to be easy. And it's not necessarily going to be a cakewalk. But there is a determining factor here from this passage of scripture early on for Zechariah saying, this is the kingdom of God coming from heaven to earth. And you may not understand it, but if you receive this in the spirit in which it's being released, there will be a complete change in you, in your family line, for generations to come. And you will also affect change in the world, and you will see the glory of the Lord. Hey, and that's for us in this Christmas season. No matter how stodgy it feels, no matter how much it might feel like we're walking or going through molasses, or whatever. The Lord says, don't be caught up in that. Be caught up in the truth. Be caught up in the things of the Spirit. If we're caught up in things of the Spirit, everything will look different, even as we float through wild family times, okay? We will go through with a different mindset, a different heart set. We will see the people as God wants them to be. We will see us as God wants us to be. We will see our children as God wants us to be. We will see our future offspring as God wants us to be. And then, in the course of all of this, even with the challenges that we have with our family and friends and school and business and all those things and missions and life and all of the choices that we have, there will be a change. Oh, the Lord says, I don't want you and your family to hit a ceiling. This is the best. And we're just gonna soak it and suck it dry until the sweet by and by. No. God says, I want you to have my eyes. I want you to have the eyes to see there's more, and everything is possible for those who believe, even if it looks ridiculously impossible. And I can tell you, that in my personal life, my family life, there are so many things that look totally crazy and impossible. And the Lord says, but I see, and you need to have my eyes to see what I will do with you, with your family, okay? And then he brings families together. So now we're in a spiritual family. And the spiritual family that receives this, there's an impartation for that. There's an impartation to your own family, your own natural family. Really, adopted or not, you're in a family, okay? But when the family of God comes together and there's a DNA, there's a corporate blessing, that God says you come together with a connected heart, you come together with a covenantal love for Jesus, even with differences, that I'm going to take this tribe forward, and you watch what I'll do. If you believe that, wow, all things are possible, and the sky's the limit. And Zacharias was just starting to get that. There was something God was doing in these kids this morning. It's like, wow, I've seen this more than dozens of times, and I say the same thing. But you can't say, well, isn't that cute? Isn't that sweet? And they take a little step. I said to one of them, I said, did you want to take this microphone and go up and sing on the stage with so-and-so? Not right now. Okay, that's fine. It's not a problem. And I will only do that if I feel led to do that. It might be more and more, you know, I'll do it. Whatever the Lord's saying, I want to do that. But the point is this, that if we don't think and we don't believe generationally, we're missing out on something. And the Lord was saying to Zechariah, he says, look, buddy, I got something to tell you, and you need to pay attention. It's going to be good, and I'm going to paint a really good picture for you. Grab all of it, not part of it. Watch what happens. Okay, so let's take a look just again at how John the Baptist was described. All right, where is it? For he will be great and distinguished in the sight of the Lord. Would you love to be called great and distinguished in the sight of the Lord? Wouldn't that just be a great tag? You know? Bill Gokey, great and distinguished in the sight of the Lord. Well, I already know he is. And he's my best friend and the love of my life. Burning heart for this man. But he would even say to me, what really matters to me, I love that, honey. You're my love, my first love here. But this is how I want to be seen by my papa in heaven. And I want that transferred to every person in my family line, in my spiritual family line, not just the family of God at large, but the spiritual family line and also our natural family. That would be his heart. Why? Because it pleases the Lord. And it blesses the name of the Lord and enables this fantastic blessing that's generational to be released. Amen? For he will be great and distinguished in the sight of the Lord, and he must drink no wine nor strong drink. Okay, well, that means that's just for then because, you know, I mean, he's just some flake who ate locusts and lived out with in the desert. So, you know, of course he's going to say something like that. There's a reason here. So pay attention to the reason. It's like, I didn't write this. Just listen what he's saying here. He must drink no wine, no strong drink, and he will be filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit, even in and from his mother's womb. What? Ha! Jesus, wow. One of my sons was 3 years old, always smiling, always in joy, but a typical three-year-old, I'm sure, but sitting on my lap one day, always hearing about Jesus, always knowing all about the Lord. But as far as this, I said, why are you so filled with joy, quote unquote? And the answer from a three-and-a-half-year-old was, because the Holy Spirit lives in me. I'm serious. I was totally stunned, got that captured somewhere. Well, that is a decree over that person's life. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. And he will turn back and cause to return many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God. And Wow, he will himself go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn back the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient and the incredulous and unpersuadable. Wait a minute. Come on. What a hard role. Yeah. I think we have a few people, but the Lord says to us, could that be us in any way? We hope not, but let's just put that mirror up there. I just want to make sure I'm not in that camp or I don't go down that road. But at the same time, let's step in and call out by scripture. That's our heart. Let's just call out the words of the Lord for the people who are in our life. Amen? Thank you, Lord. The wisdom of the unpersuadable to the wisdom of the upright, which is the knowledge and holy love of the will of God. The knowledge and the holy love of the will of God. That's what we want for our families and friends, don't we? The knowledge, it's the knowledge and the holy love of the will of God in order to make ready for the Lord a people, maturely or perfectly prepared, watch this, in spirit, adjusted and disposed and placed in the right moral state. Come on. So what does Zechariah say as a result? Says to the angel, by what shall I know and be sure of this? I'm an old man, my wife's well advanced in years. What shall I know and be sure that it's really of you? Okay, well, that's a dangerous prayer, isn't it? Or a question? And the angel replied to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God, and I've been sent to talk to you and to bring you this good news from Daniel 8:16 and 9:21. Now behold, so catch a glimpse here. Now behold, you will be and will continue to be silent and not able to speak till the day when these things take place. Why? Oh man, get ready. Come on. Because you've not believed what I told you. I ran across that in the scripture again. I've read this numerous times, as you have, I'm sure. Because you've not believed what I told you. Because you've not believed what I told you. But my words are of a kind, which will be fulfilled in the appointed and proper time. In other words, the words that I just spoke to you will happen. And they will be fulfilled. And guess what? I love you so much, you're part of it. I told you what you need to do. You need to receive this, and then you need to act, because you're going to call his name John, even though everybody says, what are you doing? Okay, so you get to be part of this. So even so, because you haven't believed, this is your part right at this point. But I came to deliver you the message of God, the message of hope, and this is your response. Okay. I'll even tell you that I'm Gabriel. Hello, I'm sent from heaven and I'm in the presence of God. And here's what you need to do, and here's what will happen in your life in this season. But it's still going to end well. You may not know that. It may not feel like that, but I will get your attention, the Lord says through the angel Gabriel. Amen? Wow, this is fun. Now, the people kept waiting for Zechariah, and they wondered at his delaying so long in the sanctuary. He's having this convo with the angel. Oh my gosh. But when he did come out, he was unable to speak to them, and they clearly perceived that something was going on, smart group, and that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary, and he kept making signs to them, still he remained dumb. And when his time of performing priestly functions was ended, he returned to his own house. Okay, so he did what he was supposed to do. Oh, after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant. I imagine that was kind of a shocker. And for 5 months, she secluded herself entirely, saying, I have hid myself. Interesting. I secluded myself, I hid myself, because thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he deigned to look on me to take away my reproach among men. So she's also receiving a big blessing, maybe not fully understanding the gravity of carrying John the Baptist, but still, Jesus even cared about that. He cared about the disdain of her being barren in society and what that would look like. And he cared about that, and she recognized that. Can you imagine her gratitude to the Lord, finding out at her age that she was pregnant? And she can't really talk to her husband unless he's writing on something or whatever. So that's just kind of wacko time. Because thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days which he deemed. Okay, now in the sixth month after that, I love this. God's very specific, so we get this. Now in the sixth month after that, the angel Gabriel, here's Gabe again, was sent from God. It's a very busy time. To a town of Galilee named Nazareth. To a girl never having been married and a virgin engaged to be married to a man whose name was Joseph, a descendant of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Okay, powerful. And he came to her and he said, "Hail, O favored one, endued with grace. The Lord is with you, blessed, favored of God, are you before all women." And when she saw this, she was greatly troubled and disturbed and confused at first. This was her reaction at what he said, and kept revolving in her mind, what would such a greeting mean? Instead of drawing a conclusion, she was processing at that moment, but she didn't enter into a place of sin, apparently, at this point. Or if it was, it left quickly. I don't know. It wasn't something where he said, well, you know, you're not going to be able to talk or do anything. So there wasn't any kind of, there was a blessing that was attached to what was going on. So the Lord knows our humanness. It's like, what is an angel? What does this mean? But Mary took another step. It was different than Zechariah. And the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Don't be afraid, Mary. For you have found grace, free, spontaneous, absolute favor, and loving kindness with God." You have found favor, grace, received grace, free, spontaneous, absolute favor and loving kindness with God. And listen, so as I'm here shaking up your world, you little teenager, you, listen, even in the midst of this, huh, what? But listen, here's the next step. It's going to be okay. You will become pregnant. What? And will give birth to a son. What? And you shall call his name Jesus. What? He will be great, eminent, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his forefather David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob throughout the ages. And of his reign there will be no end. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, Daniel 2, 44. Now here's Mary's response. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be? Since I have no husband," meaning no intimacy with any man as a husband. Then the angel said, spoke back. Notice the dialogue here. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you like a shining cloud. And so the holy, pure, sinless offspring or thing which shall be born of you will be called the Son of God. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Power of God will overshadow you." Exodus 40, 34, Isaiah 7, 14. "And listen," again he says, "and listen," meaning, I know what's coming against you, sweet Mary. I know that it's hard for you to hear some of this, but listen. The first time, listen, don't miss this, because I am prophetically declaring over you. I am in the presence of God, and I'm a messenger, and I'm giving you a message that will change your life, change the world, change everything. No matter what's going to come your way, and it's not going to be simple and easy, is going to be doable, because the Lord will do it through you. All you have to do is lay down and receive and walk it out. So listen. So when he says listen to her, he also says, "Your relative, Elizabeth," her cousin, "in her old age, has also conceived a son." So it's already a done deal. "And this is now the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." Can you back that up for me, Amber, please? I read that, and we have scores of songs written about nothing is impossible with God and everything is possible with him, and we all sing it and believe it and we say it. We look at our spouses and we say that. We look at our friends and say that. We might say that to the Lord in prayer. But the truth be told, when it comes right down to the very crux of the very promises of God that he gives us, and we're not sure of his promises, we can be sure that confusion and doubt and unbelief will grip us and swirl us around and take us down, because that's the enemy's job. It comes down to that. It's as simple as that. Life in the Christian world comes down to, will we choose to believe? And will we believe in who he is? Because he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He says so. But we must believe that he is who he says he is. If we do believe that, if we know him, we will actually see the glory of God. We will know his goodness. We will see his glory. We will know his presence. We will see his beauty. It's just that way. And that's what he was trying to say to Mary. That's what he was trying to say through Gabriel to Zechariah. And so when the angel Gabriel said this, absolutely amazing. He didn't just give a promise. He just didn't say, hey, listen, your cousin is pregnant, okay? She's in her 6th month, and she's not barren anymore, and you're going to have this son. His name is Jesus, and he's going to be the Son of God, and all these things are going to happen. It's going to be great. He also gave her this prophetic declaration from heaven, and he says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you like a shining cloud. And he says, for with God, down in 37, for with God nothing is ever impossible, and no word from can we flip it, please? God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. No word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. This is the crux of the Christian faith, for our faith to grow. Because if we struggle before that time, that's where the struggle is. And the Lord says to us, this is where I enter into this. And if you will take that step and you will say, I choose to believe, even with shaking and fear and trembling, the Lord will back us up. Because the truth is, this is the truth of here he is right here. And this is going to help us with our personal heart struggles, our personal heart issues that we process over and over and over again. Because the problem isn't in the outcome. The problem is with our struggle. The problem is in the area of unbelief of the Lord. That's where the problem is. For us, for us as humans, and Mary was a human. So here's the response. Mary says, behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Just want to check on where we are here. I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to what you have said. Then Mary said, behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let's say this to the Lord in our hearts. Behold, I am the servant, the laid down lover, the child of the king. Let it be done to me according to what you have said. And the angel left her. If we stay there and we go there, first of all, and then we stay there, things are going to change. The way that we do life, the way that we do kingdom will change. The way that we're received and controlled by the Holy Spirit. When it occurred, Elizabeth heard the greeting. She spoke out and greeted her in the name of the Lord with what had happened inside of her. Can you believe this? And who she's carrying. And because she spoke that out, because she stepped in, she was carrying the glory with her. Because she did that, what did Elizabeth get as a blessing and a benefit? Elizabeth gets filled with the Holy Ghost, and so does John the Baptist. And that was prophesied to Zechariah about John the Baptist. Filled in the womb. The mother's filled. Come on, this was a Holy Ghost party just by Mary walking in the door without even having delivered the baby yet, because that's the power of the glory of God that we carry. Think about that. Let that raise up things. When you sit around with your kids and eat Christmas cookies and drink eggnog or whatever, eggnog's good, but whatever you do, tell them about these things. That's why we're going through this line by line. It's for us, but also your children. When they're small and they look at you and they don't understand, you're carrying the glory of God. So when you speak this over them, they will get it. Whatever it is they will get. Okay, John the Baptist was filled in the womb. Do you think he was going, well, that's a really good word right there. Whatever was going on, he received that and he responded, and so did Elizabeth. This is powerful. This is so powerful to read over and over and over. But then so let it energize us so that we go out and we speak these things. We go to Starbucks and we've got a word in season and we've got something to say. And it's going to be good. We're not defensively fighting off the things that come against us. Believe me, it's loaded in my family. And it's just like, woo. I love everybody in my family, but I'm telling you, to be able to speak this freely, but I need to carry the glory of Jesus because I want to speak this freely, and I will at some point as the Lord opens that opportunity, more opportunities. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to what you've said. Okay, let's go back to the next place here, 42. We're halfway home. And she cried out with a loud cry and then exclaimed, "Blessed, favored of God above all other women are you. And blessed, favored of God is the fruit of your womb." Who knows what was in that greeting, huh? Was there a greeting saying, "Guess what, I'm pregnant"? Don't know. "And how have I deserved that this honor should be granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Still recognizing humbly that she was in the presence, Elizabeth was in the presence of greatness, in the presence of the majesty of the king. Recognize the presence, the power, because Mary was carrying the presence, the glory. She saw his face. So she knew him. "For behold, the instant the sound of your salutation reached my ears." Get this, guys. The instant the sound of your salutation reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. "And blessed, happy, to be envied, is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of the things that were spoken to her from the Lord." She believed. Happy was she. "And blessed, happy to be, is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of the things that were spoken to her from the Lord." She's prophesying back to Mary. Come on. Next, please. "And Mary said, my soul magnifies and extols the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon the low station and humiliation of his handmaiden. For behold, from now on, all generations of all ages will call me blessed." And that's okay, and that's good, but not to exalt in a place that she wasn't called to be. And this very passage of scripture brought me into 100% freedom from my past when I was trying to figure out what does it mean to have spiritual life and get born again and leave my old behind. So I read this going, well, that's simple, it makes sense to me. And God backed that up, because when you believe, then you're free. When you believe, the Lord brings the freedom, period. Because if we really believe, the Lord says, I will do my part. I can, but I'm letting you take that step to believe, just like Zechariah, just like Mary, and I will back you up with the power and the glory of heaven as you truly believe in your heart what that looks like. "For he who is almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, to be venerated in his purity, majesty, and glory." Notice the thanksgiving. And it's all towards the Lord. "He who is almighty, look what he has done. He's done great things for me. Holy is your name, God, to be venerated in his purity, majesty, and glory. Holy is your name. You are to be venerated. You are the pure one. You are majestic. You are glorious. Your mercy, your compassion, your kindness toward the miserable and afflicted is on those who fear him with godly reverence from generation to generation and age to age. Psalm 103:17. I mean, read this over 10 times a day, once a day. Read it over and you'll just be charged, jump charged. Get up in the morning when you might feel like sludge. You're walking through sludge. Just get up in the morning, feast your eyes on this and start reading it and going, yes, Lord, that's a promise for me. Yes, Lord, that's who I am in you, God. For every promise is yes and amen. And I believe it, even maybe as I'm crying, or it feels this, or it feels that. I'm going to see the glory of the Lord. The risen glory of the Lord. I'm going to see that. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. He has shown me strength and made might with his arm. He has scattered the proud and haughty in and by the imagination and purpose and designs of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of low degree. He has filled and satisfied the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty-handed without a gift. He has laid hold on his servant Israel to help him to espouse his cause in remembrance of his mercy, even as he promised to our forefathers, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever. Referencing Genesis 17, 7, 18, 18, 22, 17, and 1 Samuel 2, 1 through 10, and Micah 7, 20. This is not just a fun little song or a little ditty to put in a play, the Magnificat. This is life. This is spiritual life for each one of us as human beings before the Lord, recognizing in the most crazy of situations. Mary, can we imagine what she was feeling like? We can sing songs and say, Mary, did you know? And we can have moments where we go, I just feel so close to him right now. And that's all good. It's not bad. It's good. But the Lord says, let me take you deeper. Let me give you eyes to see more. I want you to see what I'm doing generationally. I want you to see what I'm doing corporately. I want you to see what I'm doing in your life. I want you to know my promises. I want you to believe that with me, all things are possible. I want you to know my fire. I want you to know more than just I feel it in my bones, which is great. I want you to be able to take what's in your bones and bring it into the now, because that's the power and the glory of the Lord. And the Lord says, there will be people who will hear that message, because I'm raising up the John the Baptist in these last days, because Jesus is coming back. He says, I'm looking for my forerunners. I'm looking for those who will go low. I'm looking for those who will carry my glory. I'm looking for those who are willing to say yes, no matter what is going on in my life or their life. That's what he's saying. If that's us, he's saying, let's go. You may feel it's a lonely road. You may feel I'm on a path with a bunch of snow and I'm not seeing anything. You keep going and watch what God will do. He will do it. He will do it. He will do it because he's faithful and because he's righteous and because he's holy, and nothing will stop his hand. Nothing will stop what he's doing. You can step into the things that you think you cannot do. You can step in and say, God, use me. I will be that one. I will be that person. I will take that step. It'll be done in your name. It'll be done with your power, your authority, your majesty. You can use me. I lay down myself, and it will be the fire in my bones that brings and ushers in this great revival. One person says that. Can you imagine a whole company of people saying that? Can you imagine your family? Can you imagine your children, your grandchildren? Can you imagine your mothers, your fathers, your grandmothers, your grandfathers? Don't be one who is mainstream and stay there. Don't do that. Step out and say, this is who Jesus is through your life. And you might get rejected. People will say, this is too much. I cannot take this. Can you imagine Mary? Can you imagine Zechariah? Can you imagine Elizabeth? Can you imagine John the Baptist? It's time to take that stirring in this time. It's a prophetic time. This prophetic season of Christmas, God says, stir it up. Listen to my word. It will be done according to my word. If we go there, you know what? God is going to take us, and he's going to take us and change us. Be careful what you call. This is from the hand of God if it's not. Be careful. That's what Zechariah said. And he paid a price. Don't call something the hand of God, even if you feel good about it. It doesn't mean... Okay? It doesn't mean that's the path God has. Ask him, but ask others as well. Get in a council of people who want to go so low that it doesn't matter what anybody says. It really only matters what the Spirit of God is saying. If you isolate yourself, you're foolish. Don't do it. Rabba shika. Shakarababa. Oh, yakarabati. And Mary remained with her, Elizabeth, for about 3 months, and then returned to her own home. Now the time that Elizabeth should be delivered came, and she gave birth to a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy on her, and they rejoiced with her. And it occurred that on the eighth day, when they came to circumcise the child, they were intending to call him Zechariah, after his father. Genesis 17, 12, Leviticus 12, 3. But his mother answered, "Not so. Not so. Even if something looks like it's going a certain way." Need a mic here or something? You know what God's doing. You know what the scripture says. Hold fast. past and say, not so, okay? Because God will honor that. If you say, I don't hear the voice of the Lord. Yes, you do. You're born again. You hear the voice of God. But go deeper and say, Lord, show me where the disconnect is, where I'm up and down and in and out. Don't stay there, because that's not where Mary stayed, even if she had some feelings inside. And Zechariah as well. And they said to her, none of your relatives is called by that name. And they inquired with signs to his father as to what he wanted to have him called. Zechariah said, give me a writing tablet, and wrote, I think it's okay now, Andrew. His name is John. And they were all astonished. His name is John. They were all astonished. He stepped into what the angel told him. His name is John. I finally get this. I believe. So his name is John. They were astonished. Can you imagine that? Apply this to your life. Apply this to your own circumstances. Apply this right now to what you're going through, what you're feeling, what you're thinking. And then come together in faith and watch faith rise. And we're going to see these little ones, whoa. But these older ones, whoa. The Lord is saying, how big of a whoa do you have in your heart for who you are right now? Because you can only impart who you carry. You can only give out who you've become. And Zechariah asked for the writing tablet, and we know what happened. At once his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he began to speak, blessing and praising and thanking God. Thank you, Jesus. We finished? We upped? Did we get to 80? No. And awe and reverential fear came on all their neighbors. This is the result, guys. Remember everybody who was against them, against him. This is the end result. We're at the end here. With awe and reverential fear. Awe and reverential fear came on the neighbors. God opened their eyes. And these things were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, whatever will this little boy be then? For the hand of the Lord was so evidently with him, protecting and aiding him. Now Zechariah, his father, was filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Let me read it again. Zechariah, his father, was filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit, and prophesied, saying, blessed, praise and extolled and thanked be the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and brought deliverance and redemption to his people. And he has raised up a horn of salvation, a mighty and valiant helper, the author of salvation, for us in the house of David, his servant. This as he promised by the mouth of his holy prophets from the most ancient times, in the memory of man, that we should have deliverance and be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who detest and pursue us with hatred, to make true and show the mercy and compassion and kindness. Let me say that again. To make true and show the mercy, compassion, kindness that was promised to our forefathers, and to remember and carry out his holy covenant to bless, which is all the more sacred because it is made by God himself. That covenant he sealed by oath to our forefather Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our foes, might serve him fearlessly in holiness, divine consecration, and righteousness in accordance with the everlasting principles of right, within his presence all the days of our lives. And you, little one, shall be called a prophet of the Most High, for you shall go on before the face of the Lord to make ready wilderness until the day of his appearing to Israel, the commencement of his public ministry. That's a really good father's blessing. It took a while for that papa to get there, huh? Papas and mamas in the spirit are very important. They really are. Do not discount what God has released, what he has given. Because there's blessing, there's anointing in the covenantal, inherited blessing, spiritual mamas and papas. It's very, very important. God's showing us this. Read it again. Think about it again. I'm only touching on a few things because of the time here, to be truthful. But this is loaded for you, for your family. May this be an encouragement to us this morning. Let's pray. Father, as we prepare our hearts for the celebration that we have on December 25th, here in this house, here in Stark County, in this region, around Ohio, USA, and the world, Lord, that this is the day that you have given us to be able to come together with an increased celebratory heart, to be able to vision with you, before you, because of you. And Lord, we want to be speechless before you, struck dumb to our own thoughts, struck dumb to our own ideas that are not what you say. Lord, you give us a word picture here. We're asking God today, with you, Spirit of God, living inside of us today, that wherever we have thought, entertained something that was limiting, Lord, we just ask you to rid that out of our own being. Wherever we have said, no, I will not, I shall not, I won't go any further, and calling that you, forgive us, God. Forgive us, God. And Father, release in us the fire and the burning desire to say yes. Just as Elizabeth said, yes, his name is John. Mary said, yes, be it done unto me according to your word. Zechariah said, yes, he shall be the one that God has created to bring in and usher in the king. Thank you, Lord, that the boldness will come. Father, that our own strategies are very often limiting because we don't rely on your power. We rely on what feels comfortable and right. So ask, Father, we ask today for an insurgence, a resurrection, and a deposit of supernatural boldness and power and authority, that as we walk and carry the glory of you, God, that we will know you in these ways. Lord, that we would know and see you, that we would know your goodness, that we would see your glory, that we would be fixed on knowing your goodness, we'd be fixed on seeing your glory, that we would be transformed by knowing in our heart your presence and seeing your beauty. God, transformed by this. Thank you for the declarations today and the power released, Lord. Let it be that what we have felt in our bones is taking shape in a new way, something new, something fresh today. And we will hear the results, because you are a rewarder to those who diligently seek you. Just give you praise. Thank you for your powerful word and what you're doing in us and through us, so we can enjoy, encounter, receive, and release the true generational blessing that's upon us without limitation, without hesitation. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed. Be encouraged. Enjoy the snow. Let it snow more. God bless you all. Have a great day.